You're listening to Robert Martinez, the apartment rock star. Robert is a national award-winning real estate brand influencer and entrepreneur whose company, Rockstar Capital Management, was recognized as the 15th fastest growing company in Houston by the Houston Business Journal. In addition to his 11 100% refinance cash out events, his company has earned 15 city, state, and national apartment association awards.
We've got an exciting show for you today. We've got a gentleman who is just crushing it in multifamily acquisitions. And his name is Robert Martinez. He is a real estate expert, digital influencer, public speaker, and the founding principal of Rockstar. Okay, you got that right. Rockstar Capital, a privately held real estate firm that focuses on acquisition and multifamily apartments. He has built an award-winning real estate firm that has won 17 National Association Awards, with two of them being Independent Owner Operator of the Year Awards. Other than the awards, Robert has been recognized as a sought-after business thought leader and shared his thoughts on Forbes, Entrepreneur, Money, CNBC, and more. Graduating with an engineering degree, Robert entered corporate America in the oil and gas industry. After grinding in the 20s and early 30s, he decided it was time for a change and joined Lifestyles Unlimited, where he learned about the fundamentals and the art of operating real estate. After starting Rockstar Capital in 2011, he has successfully built the firm to $335 million in assets and 3,699 units in the last 8 years with all-star team. Robert's goal is to scale the firm to 1 billion assets under management and 10,000 units. He also showcases his journey on social media and through his web show, The Apartment Rockstar, on YouTube, and documents his journey to 10,000 units while providing full transparency of the good, the bad, and the ugly side of real estate. Wow. Well, Robert, welcome to the Old Docs REI Network.
Bill, thanks so much. It is an absolute honor and a pleasure to be on your show, and congratulations, success.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so much. Man, when I look at your goal, you know, I'm looking at, you know, 1,000 in 6 years. This guy's 10,000. He's already up to nearly 4,000 in 8 years. I'm just blown away by what you're doing and how fast you've done it. I mean, this is incredible. I just can't wait to hear your story here.
Well, thank you very much. I'm really, really looking forward to share with you.
Yeah, why don't you just kind of give us a little background? I mean, you got a great background, you know, with the engineering degree. I'll tell you, I'm just like, it seems like almost everybody I've been interviewing lately has been an engineer that's now in real estate. It's awesome. Tell us your story. How did you get started? Where'd you come from? All that stuff.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm just a kid from South Texas. You know, I grew up in a border town, McAllen, Texas, down the border between Texas and Mexico. And, you know, I went to A&M. I got an engineering degree. And I did what I was supposed to do. I did what everybody else does. Go to school, get good grades, get a good job, retire when you're 65 or whatever, right? And that was the plan I was on. I did 401k, I did everything else like everybody else. And it's what you were trained. And, you know, it's really just a mousetrap. I mean, you know, the whole, you never get out of it. It's like that hamster in the wheel. You never find your way off the wheel. And I graduated. I got in the oil and gas industry. I was a engineer sales. I did that for several years. I was good at sales. I didn't love what I did. I was good with numbers, but I was really good at sales. And I was a commissioned sales guy. And the big lesson I learned was, you know, you're going to have to kill what you're going to eat tonight. And that's something that stayed with me for a long, long time. And so I remember one day our company changed hands, actually changed hands a couple, three times. And whenever that happens, you get a new management in and you get a new philosophy and a new business idea. And they always want to try to cut expenses, right? The new company. And the quickest way is to go find the sales guys that make the most money and try to see if you can redirect their focus and cut their number and maybe have them grow a different segment so they can get back. And what I learned after that happened a couple, three times is that I don't have control of my financial future. My boss did, or the owners of the company did. You know, I was limited. I was going to be capped at a certain number. And if you get above a certain number, which is what happened a couple, three times, they kind of knock you back down and give you new sales territory, and you restart the game all the while the company's getting larger. And that's great. That works, but it didn't work for me. And so I remember sitting in my car during the lunch hour. I should have had a sales call that day, but I didn't. Something coming came up, they canceled or something. And I happened to come across a radio show led by a gentleman named Dale Walmsley here in Houston. Lifestyles Unlimited is the real estate club that he was, you know, that he had been on. He had been on the show for radio for a long, long time. And I guess after about hearing that for about a year, I said, why can't I do that? Why can't I find something else to do? You know, and I really just was just going with the idea of replacing a few dollars, you know, replacing some of the income that my boss had redirected. And I went to a club meeting. I really enjoyed it. And then I went to a 2-day weekend boot camp kind of situation. And I was just blown away. You know, I got introduced to Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. I got introduced to all kinds of different ways of thinking, and I was hooked. That was back in January of 2007. I joined the club. I met a business partner there, or I met a gentleman who became my business partner, and he and I started a management company. We bought and managed 2,000 units with investor equity. That partnership ended at the beginning of 2011. I then started Rockstar Capital Management, and I had a wealth of knowledge, and I just restarted the company in my own image, restarted a company with my own brand in mind. And since then, we've grown from zero properties to 21 today, from 2011 to 2019, 3,699 units. We've done about 100 million in transactions over the last 12 months. We're one of the most busiest buyers in the Houston market. Recently, I was acknowledged as the first 2-time National Independent Owner of the Year by the National Apartment Association. That added to our collection of 17 city, state, and National Apartment Association awards. And just a week ago, I got recognized as one of the top 60 CEOs or one of the top most admired CEOs in Houston by the Houston Business Journal.
Well, that's really quite an honor. Man, oh, man. I'm just looking at this still. It looks like just such a relatively short period of time. And to be able to, you know, to grow so rapidly, you must have just had a heck, you know, talk about your team here. I mean, you guys must have just been going 90 miles an hour. I mean, this is amazing. Are all your properties in the Houston area?
Yeah, so about 80% of them are in the Houston area. We just recently expanded to markets around Houston. And then most recently, about a month ago, we closed down in the South Texas area. We did about $51 million between two assets and had about 450 units to our portfolio.
Wow. Unbelievable. And you know, maybe you could just touch on a little bit too on Houston. Why Houston? And I know that's where you're from, but are there some good things going on there that are making it ideal for real estate investing?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that Texas as a whole is very business friendly. They also have some of the most friendly landlord laws in the country. It's not like some of the other states where you know, rent control or the tenants have a lot of ways out of that lease. It's a pretty firm lease contract, and it's fair. It's fair to both parties. Some of the liberal states, California, New York, you know, again, where you have rent control, it makes it difficult to operate. Houston is very affordable. It's one of the most friendly cost of living cities within the United States. But Texas as a whole is very good. San Antonio, Dallas. You know, this is just where I moved out from when I graduated and I made it home. And this is where I got started, you know. But it's kind of interesting to hear you think that I grew really fast, you know. I think I grew kind of slow, especially in the beginning. I mean, I was buying just one deal a year, guarding it with my life. 2010, one deal. 2011, one deal. 2012, one deal. 2013, one deal. And finally, I recognized, man, you know what? I think we've got the formula for a little faster growth plan. Certainly, we have been winning awards. You know, my number one, she's my chief operating officer. She was the youngest property manager, the youngest manager to ever win property manager of the year for the Houston Apartment Association. She was only 20, you know?
Wow.
Surrounded by a very young group. You know, it's almost like a startup from Silicon Valley. You know, I've got a lot of young millennials around us, and you know, they're very open. They're wide-eyed and very, very, you know, very attentive to what is going on. And we all learned together. And I think around 2014, we decided that, hey, we're able to do this. We're able to grow a little bit faster. So we went from buying one deal in 2013 and, you know, one deal the previous years to four deals in 2014. You know, but they were smaller deals. They were in that, you know, 100 unit to 160 unit range. And then in 2015, we bought two deals, but they were much larger deals. They were 160 to 240 units, you know. So we constantly kept challenging ourselves. And then, you know, you grow and you evolve, right? Because I it was very mom and pop, you know, how I got started. You know, the real estate club is fantastic, but, you know, they're not geared for the large expansion. You know, it's more replacing your income and finding financial peace for yourself. And it wasn't really designed to, you know, to grow a portfolio, right? So we just kept challenging the box and just kept, you know, trying to think out of it. And we kept pushing ourselves, you know, to where we're growing at a much larger pace. I mean, again, we've done six transactions in the last 12 months, totaling $100 million. You know, we just did our biggest transaction with two deals down in South Texas with $51 million. So we're constantly pushing the envelope, and it's not a speed thing. It's just taking advantage of our potential, you know, playing for our potential, not to something else.
Let's kind of look at like your first deal. Now, I know that you said you partnered with somebody and that was like 2,000 units. That kind of sounds like a little bit of an anomaly as opposed to once you launched your own company. You know, and so I thought maybe that might be a better thing to focus in on.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think that was a confidence thing. I didn't think that I could do it by myself, you know, and I partnered with somebody who is actually from London, and he had a little bit of real estate experience with flats over there and renovating them. And I had some local knowledge being a commission salesman in Houston, understanding where pockets were. I speak Spanish somewhat, so that helps as well. But I think what happened, it just kind of grew into a situation where I was the operating guy and he was more of the face of the company. You know, he was the syndicator. He was the guy that handled the investors. And I remember, you know, it didn't end so well in our relationship. And I just remember hearing, you know, you can't do this without me. You know, and I remember that was such a lightning rod for me, right? Like, are you kidding me? I ran 2,000 units. You know, we got tremendous results. We went through the recession and I kept us afloat with my sales background and the ability to teach the group. And so I was very determined at that point to prove that I could do that. And but even then, I was still scared. I bought one deal a year, 2011, one deal a year, 2012, 2013. Until finally I thought of that shell. I was like, what are you doing? You ran 2,000 units. You were the guy. You know, why are you buying one deal a year? And I think I just was guarding it with my life and trying to prove to myself that he wasn't right. You know,
let's talk about that first deal. Okay, now you're on your own. Here you are. You know, you got your business cards, and okay, you're going for it. Finding the deals, was that a difficult thing for you on your own, or did you already have contacts or established you know, funnels there for
deals? Yeah, I think the funnel had been established. Remember, I got in the real estate game in 2007, and so you start making broker contacts. You start, you know, they start seeing you as a legitimate operator. They start hearing about your financial success. And so by the time 2010 came and I was looking for my first deal, I had a little bit of a name already. People knew, they were aware of me. And so, you know, it was during the recession, you know, it was a tough time in Houston. But, you know, if I could go back, I would have bought everything I could, you know, but I was buying the first deal. It was a 118 unit deal. You know, I remember paying, it was owned by a large REIT who I guess was scared, and they had bought it really cheap themselves some years in the past. But, you know, they're working with REIT money. They're working with retirement money. They didn't want to lose their investors' capital. They didn't know when the recession was going to end. And so they wound up getting rid of it at a pretty good price, you know, and we were able to pick it up and we were able to market it. And we leased it up, you know, back to 100% within 60 days because we had it less expensive than what it would have traded a couple years earlier. We were able to discount rents a little bit to kind of bring up the occupancy. And then as the market corrected itself, you know, we're able to generate the rents back again. So it's amazing. I mean, that deal, I probably paid $24,000 a door for it. And today it would probably trade at darn near $100,000 a door.
Wow.
And it's just buying at the right time and then just operating it and taking advantages of the market correction.
Now, did you syndicate or did you just purchase it on your own or with a partner?
No, that one I syndicated. I owned 10% of the deal. We raised about $1.5 million. So I had about 10 investors that each put about, you know, $150,000.
And how did you have those investors before or did you, did you just pick them up after the deal?
Yeah, it was a situation where in the real estate club I'm in, there's opportunity to mix that, you know, to mix syndicators with people who want to invest passively. So many of my investors, they're professionals. You know, they're either the real estate people themselves, or I had some doctors, I had some attorneys, I had some teachers. You know, it just depends on where they were. I had a NASA engineer. You know, it just depends on where they were in their life. But yeah, we all kind of grouped together in that network. And you know, they said, well, I want to buy a deal. I want to invest in a deal. I like you. I know, I've heard of you, and you just kind of go from there.
How were you buying? What was your criteria when you first started out?
Yeah, well, at that time, like I said, I was buying smaller, right? So I learned that the smaller deals we had operated, because remember, I had two lives. I had another management company with my foreign partner, and I realized that the smaller deals operated better than the larger deals. And I realized that that was a situation where if you can remove the obstacles between the resident and the manager, there's a better chance of that communication line being open versus putting it in an assistant manager or a leasing agent or somebody else, right? And so I wanted to keep it in that 100 unit range, and so that we had a better control of that. So my first few deals, you know, were 118 units, 126, 108. Then I jumped to 162. You know, that was when we had our first assistant manager, that where we needed a two-man person in the office.
Were you using outside property management, or did you start off with your own people?
No, I always started out with my own people. You know, I'm really good at sales, and I'm really good at training people, sales techniques, but I'm also better. I think I'm really good at it just, you know, finding the good in people. I think the popular term today is emotional intelligence. You know, I'm very big on, let me help you get what you want, and maybe you'll help me get what I want. And I think once people see that you're genuine, they're going to give you their best effort. You know, I don't always surround myself with the most talented person, but I will always surround myself with the person that has the most heart, because heart doesn't quit on you. Heart's not going to get up and leave when things go bad, and they will go bad. I mean, this is life. Things aren't always going to be rosy. They're not always going to go right. So you want to surround yourself with people who aren't going to quit. I can teach you things that you don't know. I can give you some skill sets, but I can't give you heart. You either have it or you don't. You're born with it or you don't.
Right. That's great. Did you ever retain some of the management that was in place, or did you always replace the management that was at the property when you bought it?
I would say 90% of the time we would replace them. It didn't happen initially because we needed some people on site. We wanted to give them a chance. You know, if they had some knowledge of the property, certainly, you know, we were growing. You know, it's a tough labor market within Houston. So you want to give everybody a chance. But what I came to find out was, you know, I'm buying the property because there's something wrong with it. I'm buying the property because there's a value add component there, right? And that goes from the ownership all the way down to management and the people that are running the situation. So if, you know, I would say that the property is a representation of who you are, you know, and your standards and your expectations. And if I walk a property and I see all kinds of issues, you know, that's not just the owner who doesn't want to spend the money or somebody. It's also, you know, if I see trash on the floor, you don't need budget to pick up trash off the floor.
Right.
You know, you just need a little bit I don't know, standards, you know. And I realize that often that the people that would be running the deals that I would be buying, these are, you know, classy deals, 1970s, sometimes, you know, 60s and early 80s, you know, they weren't able to keep up with the standards that we wanted. And so, you know, they didn't always last. Sometimes you get lucky and you find a couple good people, and that's paid off for sure. You know, they come in, they just needed a better direction, but more times than not, you know, we didn't retain.
Did you always have, yet? So you probably had a full-time on-site manager, and then did you have maintenance also, full-time maintenance on these?
Yeah, for sure. I think anybody getting started, I don't think you want to do this mom and pop. Like, I don't think you want to buy. I'm not a big fan of buying a 20 unit, 30 unit, 40 unit kind of situation, because you're basically buying yourself a job. And the whole point is to invest passively. The whole point is to, you know, keep your day job and have side income if that's your goal, not to go and work this at night. You know, I know some people who go and they'll get like a 10 unit deal and they'll give a rent discount to one of the people that live on site. That doesn't work for you. You know, that shouldn't work for you because they're not your standards. They're not going to do it the way you want them to do it, but you can train people to do it the way you want it. So typically the sweet spot there is that you want to get at least 80 to 100 and 120 units. Then that gives you the budget that you need to be able to employ somebody on site, in the office and outside. And then once they're there, that you can train them, you can tell them what you want. If you do a lot of, if you get smaller than that, then you're always having to like try to find the next labor guy to help do your, you know, your make ready or to help fix an AC or to do something. You don't have it ready to go.
So starting out on your own, you've, you know, you're doing everything. I mean, you're obviously you're analyzing the deals. You're trying to find the deals. You're overseeing the staff that's managing the units. I mean, you're working with the investors. I mean, that's a lot. And starting off, you know, the rate you were doing it. I mean, I imagine that was pretty intensive. What were some of the first people you started hiring onto your team?
Well, yeah, I was very fortunate that when I left my other company and I came to and I started Rockstar, I brought, you know, the youngest and the brightest that we had there in the group. You know, she was actually my first property manager at the property that I first bought on my own without my partner. And, you know, we grew around each other. And then her husband, who was working somewhere else, was available, and he came on. And that's been an amazing. I mean, if I have a 1-2 punch, it's right there. I mean, he's the National Maintenance Technician of the Year. You know, he's a Houston Regional Maintenance Man of the Year. I mean, talk about just, you know, getting people that you don't know who they are. All they needed was just some cultivation and somebody to invest in them and mentor them. And, you know, I wound up with an amazing, you know, I think they call it like a bumper crop, right? I just was very fortunate, you know, but I also put a lot into them, you know. So those are my first two staff members. And I built the business around them. And so, you know, it's almost like starting a Subway operation, right? Where you're the owner operator, you're there behind, you're cashier, you're making the sandwiches, you're trying to just make it have your image and your brand, right? But you can't do everything. You got to train. And some of the lessons I had to learn was, you know, to delegate. And you're afraid. You're just afraid that they won't do it the way you do it, or that you have to slow down and take time to show them the right way. But then you feel like you're being inefficient, and you know maybe it's just faster. I just do it myself, right? So you have to slow down, and you have to find people that you can build around so you can scale up.
Got it. Well, to sort of the next couple of hires that you had then, because you probably saw, oh, I have a need in this area, in this area. How do you prioritize and pick sort of the next? Because it sounds like you had the apartments and managing those as key. You know, you had the management side, you had the maintenance side. I mean, that's awesome, you know, to be able to tackle that first off. And then what was sort of the next area where, as you're ramping up in your volume here, that really you really needed to get some other people in?
Yeah, for sure. You know, and again, this is a people game. And I mean, so is life, but real estate, I mean, you're taking care of people's homes, right? This is a people game. And you got to have people around you that play with heart and that have, and they care, and they value that these people live in their community and in your community. You know, so I was very fortunate that, you know, my now CEO was my, you know, again, she was my first property manager, but she also became my first takeover manager. Every time we would go to a new property, she would come. You know, she would always be the first one to open the door up and get the property situated, help me get the software implemented, help me take control, you know. And then before long, we started thinking, well, man, we need some additional help. One of our first maintenance managers became our first regional maintenance, and he grew. And next thing you know, instead of having just one or two properties, now he's got four or five properties. And then we grew from there. And then you needed some additional, you know, my number one, you know, she can't be everywhere. So you gotta get like an area manager or like a regional manager, somebody that can help manage. And that came about after deal number 9. You know, we were over 1,000 units at that point. We recognized, you know, we need some additional people. So we had to promote from within, you know. But sometimes you can't. You have to like hire talent from outside. And, you know, the difficulty there is that, you know, they came from somewhere else and they do it a different way. And at Rockstar, we do it our way, and our way works. And our way, we feel, gives us, you know, those awards, you know, those skins that we have hanging on the wall. And so it's difficult. We had to hire outside initially for a while until we started to build that bench internally with people that do it our way. Until those first leasing agents you hire in 2011 are ready to become your first area managers in 2016 or 2017. There's a seasoning process, right? So, but you build around it. And then at some point you recognize, wow, you know, we need to, you know, how do we push ourselves? And I was very fortunate that I had the opportunity to listen to some, you know, some other influencers out there in social media and recognizing about brand, recognizing about technology. But everything we do is with the customer journey in mind. So everything we do is with the renewal in mind, because you make no money when they move into an apartment, as you probably know. You've got all these expenses, make ready, commissions, vacancy loss. You only make money the day that they renew. And if you do it right, they're typically renewing with a rent bump, right? So you don't have to do anything to get them to sign that contract against it. Maybe offer them a free, some sort of concession, like a free carpet shampoo or a touch of paint, or, you know, if you need an appliance in the apartment, you can upgrade one of the appliances or something like that. But all the money you ever make in real estate happens when they renew. And so everything we did from there was with that mindset in mind.
Did you later sort of add acquisition people or underwriters or, you know, an accounting department or, I mean, or, you know, sort of, you know, just taking some of that weight off you, investor relations, that kind of thing?
Wow, you're going advanced here. Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. I mean, at some point, you can't do it yourself. You got to have that those people in there. So I think after the first, I guess for me, I would call it non-operational, right? Because they don't have their hand dealing directly with the, you know, with the residents. But was our marketing group, you know, because you got to get quality control. You got to make sure you have you get a training director. Then you bring on a marketing director, and then you bring on somebody that's really good with tech and understands that. And then you get somebody who has the idea that, hey, you know what? We're not in the office if we're running these small deals. We need a call center. We need to make sure that the phone's answering 24/7. You know, I've got an engineering degree. I've got time. I mean, I understand numbers, but you know, accounting is another animal, and I don't want to do it wrong. And I don't want to bring somebody in house to do it. I don't want that responsibility. It's just easier to outsource that. So we outsource the accounting group. You know, and we've done that from almost the very beginning. And I think that saves me time instead of having to be cracking the books late at night trying to figure this out. You know, having that bookkeeping group out there, and you meet with them once a week and you go through the expenses with them and you understand what's going on. But I'm not there trying to reinvent the wheel. You know, I outsource where I need to outsource, but operationally, we do it in-house. And so as you hit these growth plans, you know, you got to bring on the acquisitions guy. You got to bring on someone that can help you underwrite if that's really what you want to do, right? But remember, it's all about quality control for me. So that hire, that acquisitions hire, was only really recently in January. I mean, I did all the underwriting myself. I did all the fundraising myself up until about January. But then you also want to make sure that you're actually marketing in the year that we actually live in, you know, and you start recognizing that technology is a big play. And you don't want to wind up like Blockbuster. You don't want to wind up like Sears. You don't want to wind up like Toys R Us, who got gobbled up. You know, the new world is going to get eaten up by the old. I'm sorry, the old world is going to get eaten up by the new world. And as I got, you know, familiar with that concept, I started, you know, exploring a lot of the social media personalities out there. Maybe you know of a guy named Grant Cardone, where he preaches sales, sure. Sales. You know, I was actually very fortunate. I got to sit with him last July. There's an actual video out there, which I think that video went viral and kind of led to some of the recent success that we've had in terms of marketing. I got to meet with Gary Vaynerchuk up in Dallas, up in New York, who owns VaynerMedia, big brand guy. Because of him, we now have a videographer that videos our properties. And we now have, you know, a brand that we try to market, the Apartment Rockstar. You know, we have a whole crew in town. We put out content on LinkedIn. We put out content on Facebook and Instagram. I mean, marketing today is very different. You know, nobody shows up on a Saturday with an apartment guidebook and tours 10 properties. Doesn't happen anymore. It happens during the week online. So your reputation matters. Everybody has a brand. Some are just more well-known than others. And you have to understand that. It's like, where does your brand rank? How to, you know, and if you don't have an online presence, if you don't have a minimum website, then you really deserve to fail in 2019, which is what happened to Sears, which is what happened to Blockbuster. They didn't adapt with the market. And so brand and reputation management is very, very big with us. We're very good at it. You know, there are only 20-some properties in the Houston area that have been, you know, that get surveyed and ranked by the residents as being top 1% in the country. So out of 101,000 communities, there were 28 properties in the Houston area that were ranked in the top 1% for resident satisfaction, and Rockstar Capital had four of them.
That's something to be proud of.
Very exciting. Yes. Very, very excited for us. One of them became the National Community of the Year as well about a month ago up at the big annual conference. So, you know, being able to tell that story online is a big piece to us, and that's what we learned from the social media guys. So you talk about, like, you know, how have you evolved? Well, this whole we got like a 7-person marketing team today, a whole arm that didn't exist 24 months ago. That's probably been the most exciting part about this, because it was all about, you know, relying on apartments.com or relying with banners and flags and colorful, you know, amenity flags trying to showcase what you have. But, you know, that's just drive-by traffic. That's lower end traffic. You want the traffic that's going to find you online, because typically we've found that those are people that will pay a little bit more in rent than the guy that are just driving by.
Right, right. Well, you know, doing this, you jumped in, you just went for it. And I imagine that there were some things that you encountered that maybe didn't go as well as you would have liked to. And what would you say sort of maybe is the biggest mistake to date that you learned from, and it allowed you to actually do better just from the experience?
Yeah, you know, and I don't really believe there's mistakes. I believe there's lessons that you learn that make it better. You know, in 2015, we decided we were going to jump into the Class A market. Class A meaning newer built property, something built in the last 10, 15 years. We wanted to do it in one of the hot parts of town, but we went in too small. I went in with 51 units thinking that I could dip my toe into that. And what I didn't recognize is that I didn't have budget. 51 units only produces so much budget. A 100-unit property at the Class A level will produce a lot more budget. A 200-unit property will produce even more budget. And you need budget to be able to have options. You know, one of the things, if you listen to Grant Cardone, he talks about you don't have an expense problem. You have an income problem. And that's what we had at that property. It was our first Class A. We didn't understand website management, you know, and leads and SEOs. We didn't understand reputation management. We didn't understand social media. And we had to learn that. You know, as I said, I grew up mom and pop with this stuff. I relied on drive-by traffic and flags and banners. And so having learned those lessons, having to go into a gunfight with a knife, you know, really, really helped us grow. And at that point, it was when we had another recession in Houston where, you know, when I did the underwriting on that deal, oil was $100 a barrel. And by the time we closed, it was $60 a barrel. By Christmas of that year, it was $30 a barrel. And, you know, Houston has a lot of different, you know, legs on the stool. We're very, you know, we've got medical, we've got the ship channel, but oil is always going to be a big piece of what we do. And if those energy jobs aren't there, then you don't have the employment necessary to keep your properties full. So you have to discount rents and you have to just do everything you can. And, you know, you got all these new properties coming online at the same time. You know, we just got hit from every way, right, with this little 51-unit property. But we survived. We survived. Yeah. We still made around a 27% return in 3 years. But I learned lots of valuable lessons. I learned about social media. I learned about reputation management. I learned how to survive. And if you can survive that, then you can take it to the rest of your portfolio. Before that, we didn't have four properties ranked in the top 1% for resident satisfaction. That property was the catalyst. That was the first one. That helped us grow. We didn't have websites at every one of our sites. You know, now we have websites, we have blogs, we have all kinds of SEO optimization, we have lead management. I mean, we have tremendous lessons that we've learned and capability that we learned from having that first property that, you know, financially maybe didn't hit the returns of some of my other properties, but we learned some incredible viable lessons.
That's great. Do you buy to hold for the long term, or are you looking at sort of, you know, like many do, like sort of the 3 to 5, 5 to 7 type hold for your properties?
Yeah, I think we're probably closer in that 7 to 10 year range is what we do. You know, we do a heavy, extensive renovation up front. We do look for value add opportunities there where we can optimize expenses, increase income, and then we'll get a refinance event. I'm very fortunate. We've done 11 of those so far, 100% out. Back to the investors, 11. And so we're really good at identifying the right kind of properties and doing that renovation. Then when we get that buy the apple or the refi, we put some money away and we, you know, like a rainy day account, rainy day fund, and we do a second rehab, you know, somewhere, you know, 3 to 6 years into the property. And then around year 8, you're making your decision on whether or not you want to hold or sell. So we're actually working on the 12th refinance event today. I just locked on it and got a incredible, you know, borrowing $12.8 million and got it at 4.18, you know. So, I mean, I'm really, really excited about it.
Wow.
We had that rate lock right before our podcast started.
Man, that's awesome. Well, what would you say was sort of your single sort of major success that, you know, it could be a purchase, it could be something that you did with your business. What would you single in, if you could, on one key thing that was a success that's really contributed to where you are now?
You know, I think we were the quiet unknowns. You know, we're the company that name is Rockstar, right? So we get a little bit of attention just from that, right? But you got to live up to that every day. I think 24 months ago, when I went up to go see, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk, when I went to go visit Grant Cardone a year ago, we just went back for a revisit with Gary. That changed the way we operate as a company. You know, we've learned to brand ourselves and operate very differently than in the past. And that's had tremendous returns, tremendous results for our properties. You know, we have to tell people who you are. You know, nobody knew we had 17 city, state, national awards. You have to tell them. Nobody knew that you were the two-time National Independent of the Year. You have to tell them. You have to tell them what you're doing. I know mom and dad teach you not to talk about yourself, but that's not really what works. You've got a story tell in 2019. You got a story tell for your properties. You got a story tell for your personal brand. You got to survive. The market is changing. Thought process are changing. You're seeing all these YouTube and like Instagram, stars come up overnight. And they don't have any more talent than you do. They just have a little bit of knowledge. They're not afraid to talk about themselves. Now, I'll give you a quick story. I was just thinking about a story that the parent of my youngest, he's 11 now, one day came up to me and said, "Oh, so you're Ryan's daddy?" I'm like, "Yeah." "Well, my son says that he's the strongest kid in school, that he's the fastest kid in school, that he's the smartest kid in school." Now, I don't know if that's really true or not, but Ryan said it was true, and Ryan said enough times. And so, he created his brain. He created his image of what he wanted himself to be. I didn't know that was going on. I didn't say, "Hey, Ryan, don't talk about yourself," like my mom and dad did,
Interesting.
It was just being a kid, and he sold himself, right? And if you think about it, having a good social game, having a good brand and operating in 2019 is vitally important. I mean, we buy from people that we like. Right. You buy from things that make you, that you feel that you can associate yourself with. So I think that's what's going on in 2019 for us, is that I'm really excited that some of those things that we did, it's not even really the financial success. I should be telling you that I remember the 11 100% cash out events. Right. I should be telling you, the 17 city state national awards. But those came already. Nobody knows about them if you don't talk about it, and it's my job to tell it's my duty to tell the success of this company for the people that work in it and for how hard and the hours that they put into it, that they get the recognition and the accolades that they deserve.
Yeah, that's you're right. I mean, I think you have an interesting background too. And I think that there are two very strong attributes for real estate investing, both sales and your engineering background, your analysis, the numbers part, as well as I think the selling part is a key part of what we do. We have a lot of people we have to sell to, and it's, it's important. I mean, we've got to sell to potential new tenants. We've got to sell to investors. We've got to sell to bankers. I mean, that's a real good combination. I think it's kind of rare too, because you don't always find that kind where you've got sort of the analytical and the sort of more creative side.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm not going to be one of those guys that's in a think tank, because I had a 4.0 GPA. I didn't. I enjoyed my weekends when I was in school. I partied some like everybody else. I didn't get straight A's, but I had a personality. I have a sales background. And that's typically what my company was looking for. They didn't want the 4.0 GPAs when I came out of school. They wanted the guys that had the low threes, but that had a personality so they could sell, right? And so I think you're right. I think I've been able to utilize that. The sales piece in apartment investing, I think, is something that doesn't really get its due, but being able to understand how to talk to people, being able to understand what their expectations are. I mean, communication is the key to life, right? If you can't tell me what you want, how can I help you get it? Right. Well, it's the same thing with the apartments. I mean, let me provide for them quality housing. One of the things I'm very proud of that we do is that when we do a big renovation, right, we immediately rip out all the ACs and put brand new ACs in, because the number one reason why people move out is maintenance. And the number one maintenance headache is air conditions. And you cannot have a problematic AC in August in Houston, Texas, when it's 100 degree, 104 outside. You're not going to get that renewal. So when I talked about earlier, everything we do is with a renewal mind, that's true. You're not going to move out of one of my properties because of an AC that doesn't work right. It's going to be 74 in your apartment when it's 106 outside. That's not going to be the reason why you're moving. So the name of the game is getting those renewals in. So yeah, I think that's really helped me, my sales background, but I think that I'm empathetic. And I understand how people think. But I think one of the key things that I think that's helped our business, that we're very decisive. I'm not your typical engineer where I'm going to problem solve. I'm going to sit there and try to figure out, 10 different ways when this way works just as good. We're going to make decisions. You and I have a conversation at this table. It becomes policy tomorrow, and I think that you've got to be quick moving. I think some of the bigger, larger companies that, I don't have a board. I make decisions for the long term. I don't make short term decisions. So if we're going to go and implement a new software, you know, it costs some dollars today, but it's going to give me the long term benefit. I'm going to do it. If we're going to spend $400,000 in air conditions, but I'm going to get the long term benefit for the residents because it's going to help the renewal game, I'm going to spend it. So I think all of those three things together, it's what's really helped our business grow.
Well, we have an audience, as you know, 50 plus folks that are either approaching retirement or already in retirement, and they're looking at real estate investing as a means to be able to, they have different reasons, but some are looking for cash flow, maybe additional cash flow to supplement what they already have for their retirement, to be able to do the things that they've always wanted to do and really have the dream retirement that they sought. Others are just, you know, they've got their nest egg, they're going good, but they're looking at, getting maximum return for their investment and so forth. What advice would you have for that group in terms of, you know, how they should get started in real estate investing to be able to help achieve those goals?
Well, number one is I think you need to take action now. The best time to invest in real estate was yesterday. You know, and I think real estate has shown over time, it goes up and it goes up at a higher number than the stock market, which is what we've all been taught to invest in. I think we get taught the stock market because it's easy. It's easy to pick up the phone or to make a trade and you're done. You know, it doesn't take any effort. I think you need to take a little more command of your nest egg or some more command of your discretionary dollars and put them to work. I think joining a real estate club is a great, excellent way to be around like-minded people who have similar goals and dreams for themselves. I did, you know, I saw myself retiring at 60 some, you know, with $1 million, $2 million in my 401k. I would never have worked. It would never have worked, you know, but if I had not joined that real estate club where I had the opportunity to be around people that had the same goals and aspirations, I wouldn't have been able to do it. Networking, asking people for help, you know, save yourself the mistakes that others have made, you know, and especially in a real estate club, you all want the same thing. Everybody's going to want to help each other. So I think just making the decision to do it today and not waiting is a big piece of it. Be decisive, take control of your action and, you know, and read up on it. When I joined that group, you know, it was like a kid in a candy store. It was like Disneyland for me. I couldn't get enough of what I was seeing. And so I would watch all the videos I could. I would educate myself. I'd read all the Rich Dad, Poor Dad books. Later on in time, as I learned all those and I need new challenges, I read Grant Cardone's books about sales. I read Gary Vaynerchuk's books about understanding people and doing the right thing and personal branding. I just think that just educating yourself, but at the same time as you're doing it, don't you know, be one of the tire kickers at the car lot and like, yeah, I think I want this car. Yeah, I'm not sure. Take action now and learn on the fly.
Good advice. Well, your company, it sounds like it's just on fire. It's doing gangbusters here, and it's not necessarily, you know, the best market. I mean, this is really still a seller's market, I would think, and you know, be able to be picking up the deals that you're picking up and doing what you're doing is just awesome. What's sort of your long-term play for, you know, next 10, 20, 30 years down the road?
Well, I think you identified some of it in the intro. You know, we want to get to 10,000 units. That's our battle cry. You know, that's our journey. And we document that through social media. You know, you can learn from other people by just watching what they do, you know. And so you see me at my sites. You see me in the process underwriting. You'll see me doing all kinds of different things on our way to 10,000 units, you know. And then, you know, with that, we want to be able to get to $1 billion in asset value. And for me, this is a short to medium goal, not the long-term goal. You know, the long-term goal is constantly moving. You know, I just want to be better than I was yesterday. I want to know that I challenged myself, you know, and that we're doing new things. You know, as I mentioned before, having a 7-person marketing team, you know, is amazing. It's not what was on the cards 24 months ago. We were just going about focusing on operations. So, you know, I think growing that business, continuing to bring attention to our company and acquiring quality assets for our investors and opportunities is a big piece to us. I'd like to be one of the best known independent operators in the country. You know, winning National Owner of the Year is a huge feather in my cap, but it's not the end of my journey. You know, winning that twice certainly is a huge feather in my cap, but it's not the end of my journey. I want to keep pushing myself, you know, and see where I can go with that. You know, I've hit my financial goals. I'm very blessed. You know, real estate has provided me and my family the opportunities that I could never have imagined. But now it's all about just my own personal ambition and seeing what we can do. You know, can I get to 30,000 units? Can I get to 40,000 units? Not because I need to see if I can. That's the journey. I know if you, as I said, I like to follow Gary Vaynerchuk. You know, his big goal is he wants to buy the New York Jets. I mean, what is that going to cost? How many billions is that going to cost?
Seriously.
Yeah, but that, especially in 20 years when he thinks he'll have the money, right? And maybe when the current ownership decides they want to go, he may never get there. But you know what? It's the journey. Mm-hmm. It's trying to get there. So yeah, I want to own. I want to compete with the big dogs. I want to be able to build this from scratch and be able to disrupt the market and redefine how people do things in property management and try to see what heights that my company and I can attain.
I love it. Evicting a tenant can be painful and cost as much as $10,000 in court and legal fees. The best way to protect yourself from evictions and bad tenants is to screen your tenants. And the best way that I know to screen your tenants is Smart Move. Smart Move is part of TransUnion, a trusted consumer reporting agency with more than 4 decades of experience. They built an online screening service for independent landlords that delivers critical credit and background reports to you in minutes. It is a valuable tool to help you when you are trying to decide who to put into your rental property, and they can help you find your next great tenant. Only SmartMove has a credit score built specifically for rental screening called Resident Score, which can identify eviction risk 15% better than a traditional score. With the SmartMove report, you'll also get a criminal background check, eviction history report, as well as a full credit report. And only SmartMove has Income Insights, a report enabling you to analyze renter income to determine if further verification is needed. See why 9 out of 10 users recommend SmartMove, and more than 4 million landlords have used SmartMove to make better leasing decisions. SmartMove has a special offer just for Old Dog listeners. Go to tenantscreening.com, enter code OLDDOG25, and you'll get 25% off your next screening. That's tenantscreening.com. Use code OLDDOG25 at checkout for 25% off your next screening. Smart Move. Reduce your risk of non-payment and evictions. Well, we are zipping by here in terms of time, and I've probably held you longer than I said I would, but you have a lot of good stuff to say, and I think our members are going to value get a great deal of value from that. So I appreciate that. We have right now what we call our wrap it up session, where I ask you a series of quick questions so you can share resources that you know of that might be of value to our listeners. And it's kind of like a lightning round type of deal. So if you are ready, we can go ahead and move toward wrapping it up.
Sure.
All right. Let's start with the favorite real estate book.
You know, I think I mentioned earlier, I think getting involved with Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki, I think once you get your mindset there, that's incredible. I think you said you had Dave Lindahl. Well, that guy wrote a great book called The Complete Guide to Apartment Investing. I think that's fantastic. I think a more modern version is Grant Cardone's recent real estate book that he wrote about apartments, which I think is just really dumbs it down even further, and it just makes it so simple to understand. So I think those three books, just getting into the mindset with Robert Kiyosaki, learning about apartment investing with Dave Lindahl, and then just doing it with Grant Cardone's books, I think would help you tremendously.
What's Grant's book called?
Great question. It's I think it's just called Apartment Investing.
Oh, okay. All right, great. All right, how about just favorite general business book?
Ooh, that's a great idea too. I'm a big podcast guy. And I'm really happy to be on your show. And I think people who are actually listening to you will get this. I learn a lot through podcasts.
It's the same here.
So it's not really a business book anymore. It's the podcast personalities. You got Ed Milet, you got these different guys that are out there, but I mean, Gary Vaynerchuk's podcast, I think, is amazing. We've grown as a business because of following him. He's like my idol right now. I really enjoy listening to him when I need some motivation, when I want a new business idea. He gives it away for free. He doesn't charge anything, and it's just amazing what he does. So I think Gary Vaynerchuk, the Gary V Show, I think is amazing. And I think you'll get some tremendous ideas and really just an inspiration to, get off and go.
That's great. Well, I'll replace that with the favorite podcast after Old Dogs, REI.
There you go. There you go. Okay. Absolutely.
Okay. Do you have a website that you go to for information? It's like a regular, everyday, boom, I'm going to this site to get information. What would that be in terms of success?
You know, no, not really. I don't have a favorite website that I go to. It's mostly podcasts.
Okay, gotcha. No, that's cool. How about an app? Do you have an app that you use all the time?
Man, I am on Facebook and Instagram all the time. Those are just the apps that I'm on all the time. It's not really business tools. It's just kind of understanding. And I follow the different people that get me going. I don't get enough of Grant Cardone and Gary Vaynerchuk. I don't get enough of Ed Mylett and some of these other guys. I like to watch and see what they're putting out. And it kind of gets me going during the day.
That's cool. Cool. How about, do you have a favorite quote?
You know, I'm a big guy about choosing happiness. You know, it's so long we stay in situations that don't serve us, because we don't want to hurt feelings. You know, I think that if you're happy, you should, you know, if you want happiness and you're not happy, change your situation. The choice is yours, you know, and I have a second quote. It's you do you, you know, don't worry about everybody else. Everybody's judging themselves. Everybody's judging you because you're doing things that they're not doing and they're upset with themselves about it, you know, or you're making them feel bad. Just follow your own map. Follow your own map and see them at the finish line.
Okay, now this one's a little bit more intense, but it looks like you've had a pretty good career and didn't look like it necessarily went through any real tough times. Now you didn't share them, but maybe you did. But let's say, for example, and it's sort of hypothetical here, you lost everything, absolutely everything, and all you have is $1,000 in cash. What would you do with that $1,000 to relaunch your real estate investing business?
As I said before, I would go back and find a good real estate club, and I would spend that money on their training and understand what they do, and I would network, and I would get it back into the game.
Gotcha.
$1,000 goes a long way in one of those clubs, man. You can get that 2 day at Lifestyles Unlimited in Houston. You can get, you know, they have a weekend seminar that you'll learn everything you wanted to know about single family investing on one day and multifamily investing the next day. And then from there, you make a decision on if you've been inspired enough to take action and go.
Gotcha. Well, there's a lot of folks listening to this that one thing I got to say too, and I really admire you. The information you share, and you've got your YouTube channel. You're just sharing information with people. It doesn't look like you have any kind of like outside consulting or selling anything. You know, and you're just doing this. It seems like just to really help people out, which I think is awesome. And how can people find out more about you, what you do, and some of those great resources you have available?
Well, for sure. I'm always welcome to comments or feedback. You can go to our website at rockstarcapital.com, rockstarcapital.com. You can check out our different portfolio around Houston, around Texas. You can see how we use video to tell a story. You can click on a link and get more information on us. You can send me an email directly at robert@rockstar-capital.com, robert@rockstar-capital.com, and I'll do my best to answer a question for you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Robert, for being on. This has been fantastic. Some good stuff, real meaty stuff here. I like it.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure and an honor to be on the show.
Well, we do have a tradition, though, on this show that all of our guests help us in closing out our show with their best old hound dog howl. And, you grew up in Texas. There's hound dogs, hunting dogs, all kinds of stuff there, right?
Yeah.
And are you ready for this one?
I'll give it a try.
All right. Well, that was good. That was very believable. Very believable.
Thanks very much. I've heard a few times driving around.
I love it. I love it. Well, thanks again for being on. I really appreciate it. Great shows this. I also want to thank all our old dog listeners out there, too, for joining us. I know there's a lot of other things you could be doing right now, but the fact that you've taken the time to listen to us means a lot, and we greatly appreciate it. Please note, everything we talked about today will be accessible in our detailed show notes on the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And you're going to look for the episode with Robert Martinez. Well, that's the show for today. Remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.